Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this day, for this opportunity to come together as a community of faith and worship you. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, that you will draw us closer to yourself. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. As was well noted by the young man in the turquoise shirt, we have some eggs to go. Did you know that Jesus didn't own anything, almost nothing, in the world? So when the soldiers put him up on the cross, they gambled for Jesus' clothes. And it was said that they were so selfish, and were only thinking of themselves because they cared so little for Jesus. But again, the psalmist foretells hundreds of years before the crucifixion that the Roman guards would gamble for Jesus' clothes. It says, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." You know, it's here that Jesus shows us what we need to do when we do wrong. He actually asks for forgiveness from his fathers, for the soldiers who are about to crucify him. Luke 23:34 tells us that he said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Isn't this a great example of how we should treat others who are mean to us or who hate us? We know from God's word, the Bible, that we need to pray for our enemies. It does say that in there. And we're also told that not only do we need to pray for them, we need to forgive them when they have hurt us, as Jesus has shown us. The Roman soldiers would then use a sword to pierce Jesus. Here's an amazing fact about Jesus' death. When people were put to death on the cross, it was common for the Roman soldiers to go to each person on the cross and break their legs. Because a person could live on a cross for days. And they didn't want that, so they would break their legs, which would not allow them to support themselves, thus suffocating on the cross. The two robbers who were crucified with Jesus, one on the left and one on his right. And as the soldiers came up to the three crucified, they went to one soldier and broke his, or one crucified person and broke his legs, and went to the other thief and broke his legs. But when they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they decided that there was no reason to break his legs. And this is an amazing thing. Did you know that God foretold hundreds of years before Jesus was born? The psalmist says, "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." Now the soldiers need to make sure that he was absolutely dead. So what they did is they pierced him with a spear in his side. And as they pierced him, blood and water flowed out from his side, indicating that indeed Jesus had died. You know, it just reminds me how much Jesus must have loved us to be willing to die for us. This next egg has a linen wrapping in it. Some Jewish leaders secretly believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world, but they didn't want anyone to know of their belief. The Bible tells us that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the high-ruling council called the Sanhedrin, believed that Jesus was the Son of God and Savior of the world. But you know what? They were afraid. They were afraid that if they told the Sanhedrin or others about what they believed, that they might be harmed or even killed too. However, after Jesus died on the cross, They couldn't hide their faith any longer. After, it's exciting to know that Joseph of Arimathea loved Jesus so much that he was even willing to put his life in danger. Joseph was a very rich man and wanted to see that his Lord and Savior had a proper burial. Did you know that the Bible said that Joseph would do before? The Bible says that Joseph would do this before even Joseph or Jesus was born. Isaiah wrote, "His grave, Jesus' grave, assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death." You see, God's word is always true. So Joseph went to Pilate and got Jesus' body to bury him in a new tomb that he owned. In bringing his body to the tomb, Joseph wrapped Jesus in a linen cloth. This was the way that Jews buried people back then, to help preserve them with ointments and spices. But little did they know that Jesus didn't need this. Joseph's love for Jesus was really amazing. God must be pleased when we love him enough to risk things, even to risk our very lives to stand with Jesus. Will you be courageous, and will you stand for Jesus even when it's hard? I think, Lydia, you guessed this one early. The stone at the tomb. After his burial, a large stone, bigger than a door and heavier than a car, was rolled over the entrance to the tomb. This was done to prevent grave robbers from stealing the body of the dead person, stealing the body or a dead person's valuables that were placed in the tomb with him. In Jesus' case, the Pharisees were worried that Jesus' disciples followers would take Jesus' body out of the tomb and thus claim that he had risen from the dead. In order to prevent this, Pilate had soldiers guard the tomb and even seal the tomb with an official Roman seal, because the penalty for breaking the seal was death. People would not be likely to try to steal the body. And the Roman soldiers knew that the penalty for them was death if they allowed someone to break the Roman seal over the tomb. Now, when Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body with spices, they saw that the stone had been moved, rolled away from the tomb. The soldiers were even gone at that point. And the woman found the tomb where Jesus had lain. What they found were the empty grave clothes. They were fearful. They didn't know what to do. You see, they didn't remember that Jesus had told them that he must die so that he could rise again in 3 days. If only they had remembered Jesus' words. If they had, upon seeing the empty tomb, remembered his words, they would have had faith and joy instead of fear and confusion. Sometimes, because we don't remember Jesus' words or remember God's word, we don't have faith. We get confused. We don't experience the joy that God wants us to experience, to have faith, to have hope, to have courage and even direction in our lives, even when life is scary and confusing. Words about the stone being miraculously moved and about Jesus' resurrection from the dead are really the most encouraging and hope-filled words that we as Christians could ever have. This is the last egg. And it's empty. It was a very special time at the tomb. Both Marys saw an angel who told them to not be afraid. He said that no one had taken Jesus' body, but instead Jesus had risen from the dead. An angel told him to go tell the disciples what they had seen, that Jesus had indeed arose. Can you imagine how excited they were? I don't know, I'd be really afraid having seen the angels, but they were excited. And then on top of that, as they were leaving, Jesus appeared to them. And the scripture says that they fell down and worshiped him. Jesus told them not to be afraid. Isn't that great news? He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now after this, Jesus appeared to the 12 disciples, and more than 500 people saw Jesus, talked with Jesus, touched Jesus, heard Jesus. You see, we do have proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus had done what no other person has ever done before or since. Being both God and man, he overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame hell. So sin and death and hell no longer have any real power over those who truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who died for our sins. You see, instead of being slaves to sin and death, Christians, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are free to obey God and to do good. The Bible says, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. And yet, we tend to live as slaves bound to this world. Like our tomb, our hearts are empty and lifeless without Jesus. But as we repent, as we turn from sin, believe and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, he fills our hearts with life. He fills our hearts with the Holy Spirit. As we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps us to obey God, reminding us of the words that Jesus said. And God's Spirit never, ever goes against the Word of God. In fact, when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives in very powerful ways. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? That God has not left us, and that God speaks to us today. Of course, I know you always do the right thing, right? Perfect people. God's word makes it clear, though, that we are not perfect. That when we sin, we need to confess our sins or admit to God that we have sinned, and then to turn away from that sin. God will forgive us based on Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross and from the grave. So we always need to trust God, who through the grace and by his Spirit helps us to become more like Jesus. Now, when you think of the empty tomb, remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. Remember, too, that Jesus comes into empty and dead hearts and fills them with his Spirit for those who are willing to ask. My question is have you rolled the stone away from your heart and allowed Jesus to fill your heart with the Holy Spirit? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace, for this story which is endless, Lord. No time will ever stop. No moment will ever cease that what you did is true. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would come into our hearts and fill those lifeless, those dead areas that we have, that we might be more fully given over to you. And we remember that, Jesus, you indeed are the King of Kings, worthy to be crowned, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who will one day come again to judge both the living and the dead, and whose kingdom will have no end. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your sacrifice,